The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. Jesus prays that the life of his followers will be characterized by an intimate unity of identity with God. To be so identified with God means also to share in God's mission, to proclaim the word that will bring others into his same unity. I begin reading at verse 20. Jesus prayed, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and those who know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them. I will make it known, so that with love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good. Y'all can sit up there. You sit right up there. Good morning. How are y'all? Can you think of something that everybody has, but they're all different? All of you have it. I have one. Pastor Tim has one. Even all of these people in church, everybody has one, but they're all different. Can you guess what that is? It's a riddle. What is today? What is today? Sunday? Yeah, it's Sunday. What else is today? Mother's Day, that's right. And God gave all of us a mother. We all have one, but they're all different, aren't they? Yeah, okay. And Mother's Day is a special day for us to honor our mother. And how do you think we can honor them? Anybody know what we could do to honor our mother? What? What? Help them, that's right. If she says, "It's time to pick up your toys now," and you pick them up, that's honoring her, that's helping her. And she likes that, and God likes that. And we can thank God for our mother because he gave them to us. When you were a little baby, you couldn't get your own food, or if you were cold, you couldn't cover up yourself. You had to have somebody to do that. And God gave us a mother to do that. Sometime, if we skin our knee or we cut our finger, what do we have to help us get better? Put on there. A Band-Aid, that's right. Band-Aids do a lots of things. They help us a lot. And if we're sick, a mom can take us to the doctor sometime or get us medicine. I remember when I was about as big as y'all, I was real sick with the measles once, and I didn't feel good at all. And so what my mother did to make me feel better, she brought me a bowl of soup. It was so good. Vegetable soup with those little ABC noodles in there. It made me feel so much better, and I still like that today. So that was one thing that she did. There's something else our mothers and fathers do for us. They tell us about Jesus. They bring us to Sunday school and church. And so we can learn about him and learn how much Jesus loves us. He loved us so much that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And then what happened on Easter? He rose again. That's right. He rose again. So, and in our gospel lessons today, we read about how Jesus prays for all of those who believe, and he wants us to go and tell other people about it too. And that's how we can do it, no matter if we're little or if we're big, we can still tell them about Jesus and that he loved us so much that he died on the cross to save us from our sins. Okay, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for Jesus and for our mothers. Help us to love and obey them every day. And I have a little something for you this morning that you can give your mother, and maybe that'll make her happy. Tell her that you love her and give her a little flower, okay? And then you can go back to your seat. Usually mothers like roses. You want one?
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today takes place during that time when Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. It's an intense time. Jesus has had his last supper with the disciples. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. He's given them final instructions, and then they came out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus wanted time to pray. And he tells his disciples to stay awake and pray with me. And Jesus goes a little bit further by himself. And as you know the story, Jesus checks on his disciples and they're still sleeping. It's an intense time for Jesus because he knows what's about to happen, that in just a short time, soldiers will come and arrest him. He'll be put on trial. He'll undergo the harsh treatment, and then they'll hang him on a cross to die. And in these last few moments of his life, these last hours of his life, he spends that time in prayer, a prayer of the heart with that intensity. There once was a little girl who was having trouble because she didn't like spinach, and her mom had served spinach for supper. Little girl had cleaned her plate all except for the spinach there on her plate, and her mother says, "You will not leave this table until you have eaten all your spinach." There was an impasse. Finally, the little girl knew that she wanted to do other things rather than to sit on the table, and also that her mother was not going to let her leave until she finished. So she ate up her spinach, hating every single morsel that she put down her throat. She says, "Can I go now? I finish my spinach." Mom says, "Now we are going to say a prayer of thanksgiving to God." "I don't want to," said the little girl. "I don't have anything to be thankful for." The mother says, "You are going to sit there until you say a prayer of thanksgiving." There was silence. The little girl thought, and then she says, "God, thank you there's no more spinach, and thank you that it has not killed me. Amen. Can I go now?" That's actually a very good prayer. It's a good prayer because it comes from the heart. It's a genuine prayer, and that's how God calls us to pray. Our prayers don't have to be theologically correct. They don't have to have the right words. They don't have to be grammatically correct. God listens to our hearts. He listens to what we pray with our hearts and with our minds, what's on our thoughts, what's our concerns, what's our joys, what's our thankfulness. God listens to what's on our hearts. Jesus prayed many times in his ministry. There's a number of stories where Jesus prays, and sometimes he needs to go pray by himself. He needs that quiet time, and so he goes up on a mountain or he goes to a quiet place. He goes out to the wilderness. Sometimes he takes a few disciples with him. Sometimes it's in huge crowds. So, and he prays before mealtimes, or he prays in worship. But Jesus prays from the heart. And here in our gospel lesson today, we see one of the most intense prayers of Jesus being prayed from his heart. And it's very good for us because we get to see what's on Jesus' mind. What is his concern in these few hours before he's going to be arrested in this very intense time in his life? What's going on? What does he pray for? What is most important for him? And he prays for several things here. One of the things that he prays for is that his work will not be in vain. Jesus worked hard throughout his ministry life as he healed the sick, and he showed the signs of God through miracles, as he raised people from the dead, as he touched those who were outcast, as he raised people up in their lives. And as he taught, and as he preached, and as he just came in contact with people, he had worked hard. And I'm sure it was frustrating for him, though, at sometimes, because his disciples didn't seem to catch on many times. And here now, one disciple has already left to betray him. Another disciple will soon deny him, and the rest of the disciples are just going to scatter. And here he's worked so hard with these disciples, spent so much time with them. It's got to be frustrating. And then, too, many times he'd gone head-to-head with religious leaders. And here it was, the religious leaders now who were plotting to take his life. I'm sure there was a lot of frustration, and he prays that his work will not be in vain. I know a lot of times we feel frustrated. Maybe it's when you were in school and you had a big test coming up and you studied hard, you worked hard for that test, and when the test came, you froze up and your grade was not so good. Or maybe you worked hard at your job hoping for the promotion, but it went to someone else. Or maybe you spent time, hours, cleaning the house, and you just get done, and here comes all the kids trampling through with the mud and the dirt, and then the dog with all the burrs and the grass, and then your husband covered in grease. Is it worth it? There's that frustration. We work hard, and it does not turn out the way that we want to. Jesus prays that his work may not be in vain. And not only what he has done in the past, but what is coming up because of what lay ahead for him. That arrest, the trials, the beatings, the torture, the whippings, and then being laid on the cross. Jesus was ready to obey the Father in all things, but yet you can feel that frustration or that intenseness with Jesus as he prays that his work may not be in vain. He also prays for faith, as he says here in verse 21, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. By faith, we are saved. We believe in Jesus Christ, and he gives us that promise that all who believe in him will be saved. That through this work that Jesus, this act, this great and mighty act of the cross and the resurrection, we are saved. But he prays here that people may believe that. There's a lot of people in this world who don't believe it. There's a lot of people who believe in other things. But it is through faith that we are saved. And he's praying for his disciples. He's praying for his followers. And actually, this prayer is answered. Next Sunday, we celebrate Pentecost, and a few days after this cross and the resurrection, 50 days after the resurrection, Pentecost comes. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit into the lives of the disciples, and they go out and they proclaim, and the world hears that message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. And it does spread. As we read in our first lesson today, Paul and Silas are out doing that very thing, spreading the faith. And they're willing to do anything and suffer anything for that faith. They are arrested because of what they did in faith. As they were in prison, they were continuing to have faith, singing hymns, praying to God. And it was spreading. The prisoners were listening. And then also, too, the jailer and his family came to faith because of the faith that Paul and Silas had and willing to spread it. Our faith has come down to us because other people have spread it to us. Maybe through our mothers, through our fathers, through grandparents, through teachers, through pastors, through other friends, through acquaintances. That message has come down, has been passed down to us. That faith has been passed down to us by the leading of the Holy Spirit through other people. And now as the people living here on this earth, Jesus is praying for us that we may have faith, that we may believe that he is the one who has sent us or sent him, and he sends us out then to proclaim that faith to others. We pass it down to our children, to our grandchildren, and also to all other people that we come in contact to let them know that we do have faith, that we do believe in Jesus Christ. Another thing that Jesus prays for here in this Garden of Gethsemane is he prays for unity, that we may all be one. He prays as God the Father and he himself are one, that he prays too, that his followers may be one. And that actually the whole world may be one in him and believe in him. Our world is very much scattered. We are not one at this point. And all you have to do is pick up a newspaper or look on the internet at the news to see that we are not one. With the terror, the hatred, the murder, the injustice, we see that there's many, many people that do not believe in anything. There's many people that believe in other religions, even destructive and dangerous religions. Even among Christians ourselves, we don't always agree with each other. That's why there's so many different denominations. Even within the Lutheran Church, we don't always agree with our brothers and sisters. And even within our own congregation, there may be some disagreements between each other as individuals. Jesus prays that we may be one. And by Jesus, we are tied together in one holy Catholic apostolic church. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, and that ties us together as one body in him. Christ prays that we may be one. He prays that we may be one so that we can have faith and so that we can spread that faith so that all may become one in him. Jesus prays in this garden the prayer that we may have faith, that we may believe. He also prays that his work may not be in vain. And it has not been in vain because that salvation is offered to us. We are saved. Christ continues to pray for us. He continues to live within us through his Holy Spirit. He continues to guide us in all things. May we be one in him. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.